I have a question, and that is the title. Do we know how to pray? Or why are our prayers not answered? When we are sick or in trouble, we can pray about it. But do we have the faith and the understand to leave it completely in God's hands? And do we know that he will deliver his children from sickness and trials of all kinds? Very few people do. When we don't have the necessary wisdom or power to solve our problems, we often become frustrated and unhappy. We forget and completely ignore the fact that we have the right to ask the Supreme Creator of the heavens and the earth for help with all our problems. Jesus Christ gave a perfect example that we should follow in his steps. Let us read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For though to these you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He lived a fulfilled and rich life, a life full of love and strength from God. He knew how to stay in touch with God and how to lean on him, taking Christ as a role model. Can we imagine a Christ who behaved as if God had gone somewhere far away? But that is exactly the view of the most so-called Christian today. Do we trust completely in God to heal us when we are sick, to save us from potential disaster, to bless us both physically and spiritually? The disciples witnessed the Christ unlike most people, actually expect God to intervene and heal the sick, cast out demons, and even calm a storm at the sea. They also longed for this kind of intimate contact with God. By his fruits, they recognized that Christ understood the right way to approach the eternal God and ask for his power to help in every difficult situation. You and I should utilize this key, this right way for asking for God's strength every day of our lives. Making use of it can bring new strength and meaning into our lives. But this key has been misused by many people of many different religions. Remember that Christ is our role model. He knew how to use this key perfectly. His way leads to results. Christ showed us how to pray. In Luke 11, verse 1 to 13, we read. We go to Luke 11 and start with verse 1. Luke 11. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he cast, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is in debt to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, thought, he will not rise and give to him because he his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, and ask, and I will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone, verse 10, who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We read that disciples came and asked Jesus for the way to establish proper contact with God. Lord, teach us to pray, they asked. People don't know how to pray until they thought properly. There might be their problems, so Christ gave them a blueprint for a prayer that would lead to results. Let's analyze this blueprint. The prayer is addressed to our Father in heaven. When we pray, we think first and foremost of God as our Father, not just your Father or my Father, our Father. Let us consider that there are others who seek to serve the Creator and spiritual Father, and that God loves us all far more than a human Father would be able to do. Furthermore, he has the power to help us in his way. That would be impossible for a human Father. But God can help us, and he has promised us healing in numerous scriptures, including. Let us look at Psalm 103, verse 3. Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgives all our iniquities? Let us also read James 5, verse 14. James 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let us embrace God's promise when we pray and always remember him as our Father. The term in heaven reminds us that God is no ordinary Father, but one who has all power and should be worshipped. We have to be humbled and reverent when we pray to the true God. Aloud by your name shows that the name of God and all that it stands for should be held in reverence. God's name will one day be our own if we overcome, and we will be born into the family of God. This name includes the authority to rule. It must always be respected. What we can pray for? Your kingdom come is the first plea of this prayer. First of all, we should learn to pray for God's kingdom, God's government, and God's rule to come to this earth. How many so-called Christians really want God's rule their lives? Most colony-minded people use every means possible to close their eyes to the fact that God is the supreme ruler. Christians should pray for God to rule this earth. Only his rule will bring about a peace and a prosperity that his word seeks in vain. You can find this confirmed in Isaiah 11. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Teach us to submit to God's will as we pray, acknowledge his reign. God knows what is the best. We need to study God's words so that we can learn the principles of God's will and pray accordingly. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let us take God's word into our hearts so that we begin to think like God is thinking and God's will becomes a part of our character. The thinking which was also in Jesus Christ should be in us. We go to Philippians 2 and read verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Jesus Christ. Then we will automatically pray according to God's will, as revealed in the Bible, and our prayers will be answered. Give us day by day our daily bread. Certainly shows that God wants us to ask for our physical needs. But let us note that we are not to ask for great riches, rather for our daily bread. God has promised to take care of every need we have. Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. We read, and my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is God's will for us to prosper and be healthy. 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. But getting wealthy could easily prove to be a stumbling block for our faith. So let us remember the example of Christ only asking for our daily bread, not necessarily a livelihood for several years in advance. Forgiving others, resisting the devil, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. We can only ask God for forgiveness if we have forgiven others in the first place when we kneel before God in prayer. We should never come before him with feelings of bitterness, resentment, or hatred. If we cannot cleanse ourselves of such feelings first, we ask God to cleanse us and replace the spirit of hatred with his spirit of love. And love is merciful and patient with others. It's a beautiful feeling to realize that you don't hate anyone. But let's try, even if it might be clumsy, to show love to everyone. In this attitude, God hears a person's prayers and answers them, and do not lead us into temptation. God himself does not lead anyone into temptations. James 1 verse 13. James 1 verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But he allows us to be tempted by Satan and by our own desires. We should constantly pray that we will not be led into temptation or participate in it. Then he will give us the spiritual strength to overcome all wrong desires. Let us ask God every day to give us the strength to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. James 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Satan, the devil, will do his best to shake us day and night. Let's ask God for strength and faith. Let's ask for what we require, what we are in need of. Jesus continued to teach us, to teach his disciples. Luke 11, verse 5 and 13, about prayer, by giving them a parable, it illustrates that we are truly in need, like the man who had an unexpected guest. We can be sure that God will answer our prayer if we rely completely on his mercy. Jesus said to them, verse 13, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is more than willing to give us of his Spirit. Do we need wisdom, knowledge, faith, or love? These are gifts of the Holy Spirit that we will find in the chapter 12 and 13 of the faith, on the faith, 1 Corinthians. Let us ask God for these gifts. He is ready to give us these things. This is his will. So let us ask in faith. Two things to avoid. During the sermons on the Mount, Christ said in Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8. Matthew 6, we start with 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like to hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Christ knew that his faithful followers would pray. He didn't say, if you pray, but rather, when you pray. He knew that anyone who truly served God would pray often. Are we doing the same? He admonished the disciples not to pray in such a way that they would be seen by men, but to go into a closet or a hidden place and pray to the Heavenly Father there. Christ thought that it was wrong to say long prayers in front of others in order to show off. Matthew 23, verse 14 and 15. Let us read Matthew 23, start with 14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for the pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. We go to Matthew 6 and read verse 7. Matthew 6, verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Memorize prayers, including the Lord's Prayer, lose their meaning and sincerity. Nowhere in the entire New Testament the Lord's Prayer is repeated. The apostle did not repeat it over and over again. Jesus only gave it is a template or blueprint or outline for us to model our own prayers on. The worldwide churches are mistakes if they practice repeating every prayer over and over again every week. Let us avoid this error. Let's try not to repeat giving God's thanks in the same way every time we sit at the table. When we pray, let's not just rattle off so many words. Let's honestly recap our blessings, our needs, and pray from the heart. We don't need to be ashamed either. We should be careful not to pray to be seen of men. But does that mean we should be overly secretive about our prayers, as we are ashamed when we pray? Absolutely not. Some are burdened with this problem, so may be afraid to pray as often as possible because they are secret. They are scared. Have no such fear. No one should stop us from praying, be it the children or the wife or husband. It remains to be said that we should not necessarily pray before eating in a restaurant. We would provoke others. In Luke 9, verse 18, we read, Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 18. And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciple joined him. And he asked them, saying, Who do the crowds say that I am? And further on is in verse 28, in the same chapter. 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, that he took Peter, John, and James, and went up on the mountain and to pray. We see here two examples of Christ, our perfect role model, praying within a short distance of his disciples. They knew where he was and what he was doing. So let us not be ashamed if someone knows that we are praying. But let's be careful not to pray to the scene by man and try to find a closet or a private place where we want to be disturbed. And the end of there is absolutely no point praying in a restaurant if people are talking loudly in the background. When Jesus was staying with his disciples at Peter's house, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed, as we read in Mark 1, verse 35. Mark 1, verse 35. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And as we have also read there, he went to a solitary place. Attitude in prayer. In the Bible, we find many different attitudes in prayer. But it is constantly shown that in a private, personal prayer, we should kneel on both knees. It has always been customary to kneel on one knee before a king or other ruler as a sign of respect and esteem. But the Bible always tells us to bow both knees to God in reverence and worship. We go to 1 Kings chapter 8 and read verse 54. 1 Kings 8 and verse 54. And so it was when Solomon had finished praying all his prayer and supplication to the Lord that he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And we read Ezra 9, verse 5. Ezra 9, verse 5. At the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting, and having torn my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. In 1 Kings 8, verse 55, and Ezra 9, 4, show example of an appropriate posture in prayers. Notice that Solomon and Ezra kneeled on both knees. This is a position of humility and supplication. Now it remains to be said that if we are lying in a sick bed or have problems with our knees or physical problems, we do not need to kneel down. God may not answer them, bedtime prayers that we mumble to ourselves in bed just before we fall asleep. If we want an answer, we better get out of the bed and kneel before God our Creator. Let us read Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from there about a stone throw, and he kneeled down and prayed. How often should you pray? In Acts 13, verses 24, we can read Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, and man after my own heart, who will do all my will. We read that David was a man after God's own heart. Let's note some of the Psalms. Many of the Psalms are pure prayers of David. He prayed to God in times of need, for guidance, for giving thanks in every situation. David went to God in prayer. Let us not think that we are bothering God by sharing our joys and problems with him. Let's talk to God more often in every situation in our life. This is undoubtedly one of the main reasons why David was a man after God's own heart. If we want to be a child of God, then let's get to know our Heavenly Father. Talk to him often. Share our lives with God. In Psalm 55, verse 17, David wrote, Evening and morning and at noon I will pray, I cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David came before God three times a day in prayer. In Daniel 6, verse 10, we read about God's prophet Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 10. Daniel 6, verse 10. He kneeled down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. These examples are not commandments, but they certainly shows that kneeling and praying three times a day is a good way to bring God into our lives. The Apostle Paul was inspired by God to write to the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we can read. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Here we read his instruction. This means that we should never stop praying. It also shows, along with many other scriptures, that we should constantly be in an attitude or spirit of prayer. Let's talk to God as we go about our work, to leisure, pursuits. Let's ask him to guide every thought that we think and actions that we take. When we seem to lose our temper, or when we doubt a certain course of actions, let's stop and think about it. Would Christ act like this if he were here today? Let's ask God to show us and study our Bible so we know what good would have us do. Then ask God for the wisdom, faith, and strength to do what we know is right. This simple process will change our lives. Our lives will then contain more meaning and more real happiness than we have ever experienced before. How long should you pray? Prayer should be one of the most important and enjoyable activities of our lives. If we truly love God as our Father, we want to spend a lot of time talking to Him. We received our spiritual food through contact with God through Bible study and prayer. Time is precious. Let's us our time where it matters. Sometimes we will need to spend a long time with God. Christ prayed all night before He chose His 12 disciples. When we have a huge decision to make, or when we are facing serious difficulties, let us remember this example. In such an emergency, let us spend a long time in God's presence. Let us pray with all our strength. God will hear us. What to pray? Do we find it difficult to know what you pray for? First of all, let's not forget all His benefits, but rather count our blessings and thank God for every good and perfect gift. How little must people appreciate the boundless love of God? Then let's search the Bible and find out what God's true servants have prayed about it. Let's switch off our thoughts from time to time. Paul advised us to pray for the saints and for yourselves, God's servants, as we can read in Ephesians 6, verse 18 to 20. Ephesians 6, we start with 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known this mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as ought to speak. Always and everywhere, guided by the Holy Spirit, turn to God with all prayers and supplication. Do not lead up in our vigilance, but intercede with perseverance and persistence for all who belong to God's holy people. In Philippians 1, verse 4, we read that He remembered the church in Philippi and in all His prayers. Philippians 1, verse 4. When I pray for you, my heart is full of joy. Let's apply these principles to God's true servants, His work, and His true church today. Please turn to Colossians 4 and start with verse 11. Colossians 4 and start with 11 through 13. Aristarchus, My fellow prisoner greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. About you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, they are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcisions. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you and bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him with witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Paul writes about one of his helpers, Epaphras, and he was always laboring fervently for you in prayers. This man had his work in prayer. That was his part in God's work that Paul was referring to in particular. It can also be your part. Do we have the ambitions to help the brothers and sisters of God? Do we get on our knees every day when we can and ask God to help and guide us? Let us pray for God's servants and his work. One of our parts in God's work is to cry out to God day and night to guide and protect his servants. The true servants of God are only human. We have to task to fulfill that goes beyond our human strength. We need your prayers, or better, every single one of us needs our prayers. Strength in prayers. When a crisis arises, when we are sick or afflicted, when we know that God is a God who has power and force on earth, we can tap into the highest and the mightiest source of all power by simply getting on our knees in a private place and fervently asking God to intervene and help us. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we can read in Matthew 6, verse 13. Of course, you can't miss that. I won't go further into it and recommend you our booklet, Teach Us to Pray.